You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. At the first of every year, we dedicate, maybe 4 or 5 radio shows to all the pro-life activities that are happening in the United States. We've covered the Walks for Life, both on the East Coast and the West Coast, local activities, 40 Days for Life, and Coalitions for Life.
To dedicate 4 or 5 shows to help end abortion, everyone must know how important this is to us, Sherry. And so today, we're talking to Heather Gardner, who is the Executive Director of the Central Texas Coalition for Life. And so let's go right into the program and welcome Heather to Mary's Touch.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Father Jim, and thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so glad that you are with us. And Heather, I think we should start with, how do you help women and their families? Because I think it's really important, too, to include families, meaning the dads, to know the truth about their pregnancy options.
Absolutely. So with the Central Texas Coalition for Life, our short tagline is ending abortion peacefully and prayerfully in Central Texas. And so the way that I describe it for people to best understand the pro-life movement is that there's different aspects of the movement. And I always say there's a pro-life pie. So there's different pieces of the pie that work together to help women and children and families in need. And so we are the sidewalk ministry piece of that pie. And we partner with the pregnancy centers, the adoption agencies, the maternity homes. And of course, there's other pieces of the pie, like the litigation aspect, the legislative efforts. So we are specifically the sidewalk and education ministry, where we go out into the streets. We have prayer vigils in front of our local abortion facilities to reach out. We also have trained sidewalk counselors to reach out to the mothers and to the abortion workers and anybody going inside of the abortion facilities to let them know about the alternative resources in the area, and hope that we can just be God's instruments to change hearts and minds. And as far as the education aspect, we really work to educate pro-lifers. We educate ourselves so that we can learn how to dialogue better about this issue, about the resources in the area, and then we can in turn educate the community at large.
Wow.
So that's the Coalition for Life in a nutshell.
I'll say. And one thing I do think is important for people who don't know about the sidewalk ministry. I know where there's a couple of abortion clinics in the city I live in. And when I drive by them, I always see people on the sidewalks praying, usually with a rosary in their hand. And I know that it's even more than that. But could you be real specific? Do you train these people, or are they just standing in front of abortion clinics praying? Be real specific, because I think people see this group in front of abortion clinics and are not always real sure what's going on.
So we actually do have prayer volunteer trainings that we host a couple of times throughout the year in order to basically ease the minds somewhat, at least, of the prayer volunteers, of people who are interested in joining us but are not sure how to go about it. And the way that we do that is we take it a lot of different angles. So we talk about the logistics. Here's, where the location of the facility is. here's a little bit about this facility and the layout. Here is where the public right-of-way is. We want to make sure that anything that we do is always going to be following the law. That's part of our peaceful approach. And so we want to make sure that everybody understands there's a specific place we're allowed to park. There's a specific place where we're allowed to stand. And then what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're approachable. So we have people that are praying, and like you said, most of the time when you drive by one of these facilities, if there is a group like ours, you're going to see them just seemingly peacefully praying, not really bothering anybody, but just representing there. And that's as simple as it is. People will come and they'll pray quietly to themselves. They'll bring a rosary, or maybe they'll bring a Bible or a meditation booklet. They will have maybe a small church group that will pray together. So we always ask that wherever the church comes from, the people come from, just make sure that they're praying to where it's not going to be disturbing, you know, for other people around them, and especially disturbing for the sidewalk counselors. We don't want any women and anyone walking into the abortion facilities feeling like they're being prayed at or being hit over the head with a Bible. We are praying for them. We're not hiding the fact that we're a faithful people. But again, we want to be approachable, and we want them to, the customers of the abortion facilities, to feel comfortable coming and talking to somebody who is, maybe they are a prayer volunteer, but primarily they're also there to actually hand out brochures and talk with the women. And like I said earlier, that's what we call our sidewalk counselors who go through an additional training.
I always kind of wondered how you...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, that is very interesting. Thank you for setting us on a clearer path of understanding. Heather, it seems to me, and I'm speaking from ignorance, I'm looking at magazines, newspapers, etc., and I'm listening to and seeing people on TV, for example, and listening to them speak. And they're so-called Christian groups. They're not Catholic, but they are claiming to be Christian. Well, in these magazines, these newspapers, there seems to be propaganda written in there. And you see all these things about women's rights. And you know what they're getting to, and you know what they're talking about. And they're endorsing birth control. They're endorsing abortions. And some of these so-called Christians, they believe in birth control. They at least they don't. They don't come out against it. And
right.
I know in your work here with the Central Texas Coalition for Life, all of these programs are, I don't know if they're not really programs, I guess, but all of these people, they just seem to be everywhere. Every time you pick up the newspaper or something, I see something in there that is against God's plan. And you know, we can name it Planned Parenthood and things like that. And even our government can say, well, we're not giving money directly to Planned Parenthood anymore. But you know what? They're still supporting all kinds of organizations out there that do support contraception and abortions. And we haven't even begun to address that. You got a big job, Heather.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely the case. And that's what actually makes the Coalition for Life so rich, because most people in our area that have heard of the Coalition for Life or 40 Days for Life, they think one thing. They think prayer vigils outside of the abortion facilities. And that's great, because those are our biggest efforts throughout the year. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people come to learn once they get more involved is that there's so much information that is out there that's false, like you were saying, that's endorsing birth control. And we have had several people who have come through our ministry who initially thought, well, I'm really against abortion, and so I want to get involved, and I really think we should be promoting contraception because that's really going to decrease our abortion numbers.
Yeah.
And our organization, I need to probably point out too, we're not just Catholic. We are made of multiple churches in our area, ecumenical. We're very ecumenical. We have a lot of evangelicals and different types of Protestant churches, and we're very proud to be able to partner with them. And it's a great opportunity because, yes, majority of the individuals that are involved with us are Catholic. And so it's a great way just to break the stereotypes and to really get to the heart of the matters at hand, because we're not just about meeting women at the abortion facilities. We really want to go to the root of the problem. And so that's why we have educational programs to help people understand what the root of the problem is, that it's the breakdown of the family and the fact that for the last several decades, our country has separated sex from babies. And that's the problem. That's why we are where we are now with so much abortions, the high number of abortions, the high use of contraception. And of course, it's a domino effect, as you know, that leads to the breakdown in the family, that leads to higher divorce rates, domestic abuse rates. It's astronomical, the effects that it has. And so we really want to help partner with other groups as well in the area to educate people and to learn how to talk about this and really learn what their own faith says. Most people, a better Christian, really don't know that God has something to say, you know, about abortion and about sex and about birth control. And so we want to, you know, educate people to understand that better.
I'm going to get on my soapbox here just for a minute.
Oh, please do.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know me. I'm usually shy and retiring. Every time you turn on your television set and or go to the movies and you see any situation where you have men and women engaging in flirtation that leads into a sexual encounter of any kind, what they are promoting is sex without consequences. And whenever they do that, that is the most selfish thing because it basically involves nothing more than mutual masturbation. And as they engage in such acts, they totally deny that there is such a thing as a family which should come together and as the result of that union produce life according to God's plan and raise them in a God-fearing, loving society. None of that is there. And so every single time that you tune in and you laugh at one of these situation so-called comedies where you end up and there's the couple in bed together and they're just like, oh, gee whiz, isn't this nice and innocent and aren't we just wonderful people because we're expressing our love for each other. Well, my friends, that's not love. That's lust. And right. What it results in is the same thing as these clinics in which people are standing outside and are praying on the sidewalks, taking their rosaries. I wish they would take their rosaries and stand outside of the stations for ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, any of you that show it, any of it that let it be there, any of you sponsors who promote it. Hey, guess what? That's not according to God's plan. I'll pray for you. God bless you. God love you. But stop doing it.
Absolutely.
I'm off the soapbox.
Well, thank you. You know, that needs to be said more often. Your soapbox should be all of our soapboxes.
Well, thank you. Well, Heather, you know, I kind of jokingly said to you, you've got a tremendously big job, but you really do. And I'm sure that you've got some wonderful people working there who are seriously attacking some of these problems through the written news, the written articles, the media, all of the different medias. And can you get into some of that, some of your problems and attempted solutions along the way?
Sure. So, you know, one of our problems that we have is as you're driving, you know, just people in the general community driving past the abortion facilities, unfortunately, we do not have good God-fearing people praying outside during all business hours of the abortion facility throughout the year. And that's a really big problem. That's one of our goals, is to have a minimum of 2 people per business hour peacefully praying outside of all of the abortion facilities. And we currently have 2 left in our area. And that's a problem because we have more than enough God-fearing, faithful Christians and churches in our community. We have hundreds of churches in our community, and yet we have a hard time getting even a handful of people sometimes to go and pray on the sidewalk. Now, there are some very faithful, dedicated churches. We have one pastor who brings about a dozen people every Saturday morning from his church to go and pray, which is amazing, and talk about setting an example and a shepherd leading his flock. But we have so many more that they're just not doing anything about it, and they easily could be. And so that's one thing that we try to do, is encourage individuals that come across us, whether it's on the sidewalk, whether we meet them at a community event, We just had a really big Christian festival here a few weeks ago, and we met more people, and they expressed, well, I want my church to get involved. How do I do that? And so we encourage individuals to be liaisons for their churches, because a lot of times pastors are just so overwhelmed with so much on their plate, and I understand that. Believe me, I definitely understand that. But yet, you know, this pastor that I was just speaking about who comes every Saturday morning, he helps oversee three different churches, and he is no less busy than any other pastor in this area. And yet he sees the importance of this and makes the time to go to the sidewalk. And that's what we need. We need pastors who sacrifice the time, who encourage other people, who speak from the pulpit. And we have an issue with pastors afraid to speak from the pulpit about this issue. Do you know that according to their own numbers, the Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm for Planned Parenthood, according to their own numbers, 65% of women who get abortions come from our churches. That is an overwhelming statistic, and it's very sad. And the reason is, one of the reasons, I certainly can't simplify it just to this one simple reason, but one of the big reasons is because we're not hearing about it from the pulpit. And thank God we have pastors like you, Father Jim, who are willing to step out in faith and speak the truth, even if it's unpopular in our culture. But, you know, pastors, I think, are afraid for many reasons, because they understand that this is such a hot-button issue, and they're afraid to get political, and they're afraid to have people leave their churches. But, you know, the gospel is certainly not full of people who were afraid, you know, and then just walked away. It's you know, that, or at least the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is people who stepped out in faith even when it was unpopular. And so that's what one of the things we're really tackling is trying to encourage our local pastors. And we do have a great number of pastors who are involved and who do speak about this.
Let me interrupt you for a second, because I want to make sure I heard you right, that you said most of the people who get abortions are coming from our churches?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You mean they have gone to the church for help and they get none?
Well, meaning that they were brought up in the church. Maybe they even go to church on a regular basis. But for whatever reason, they didn't feel that they could come to the church for help, and instead went to the open arms of the abortion industry.
Oh, that makes me sick.
Yeah.
It is very sad. It is sad. And it is sad. It's tragic. And, you know, some people think, well, this is just too big of a problem. You know, how can we even attempt to address this? And there are actually very simple things you can do. You can start a committee at your church. And one of the first things that I encourage people to do is to find out where the closest pro-life pregnancy help center is to your church. And you need to connect with them.
How do you look that up? Do you look under
pro-life? Oh, there's many ways. You can Google pro-life pregnancy center. There's also a national website called optionline.org.
Okay.
And optionline, the way that it works is you plug in your zip code and it shows you a good number of pregnancy centers that are in your area. Now, it may or may not show all of them.
Uh-huh.
It depends on if they've actually made contact with each one, but that's a good place to start. But I would say Google as well to see where a pro-life pregnancy center is in your area, and call them and get to know them. Find out, you know, where they are. Go and visit them. Ask, schedule a tour. Find out what their services are, and then you can start putting ads or announcements about it in the bulletin, you know, in your church bulletin. You can have flyers in the foyer, on the bulletin board in the foyer. I imagine, you know, hopefully that is a well-established pregnancy center and they have good brochures. And so get some of their brochures, put that in the back of church. And there are, you know, a number of dioceses in the country that have Gabriel projects. And so that if you want to go to a Catholic source, that's a good place to start. But there's a number of ways that you can get started, and just simply letting people know that that's there can make all the difference in the world for a woman who may be experiencing a crisis pregnancy situation coming to that church, or somebody who has a friend in that church, somebody who goes to that church and has a friend. They can be that help for that friend and say, hey, I found out about this place at my church. Do you want to go there? So that's a really good place to start. And then letting them know that, of course, we're here to help them, not to condemn them. and show them that there is a better way than what the abortion industry is going to offer. And of course, we have had many, many women in our culture who have suffered from an abortion. You can't bring this message without also addressing that. And that's, yes, I think, what a lot of people are afraid of, too. So making sure that you find a post-abortion healing place, even if it's not somewhere close, there may be some resources where someone could go to in order to help them and let them know there's mercy and forgiveness in God.
We have a lot of billboards and signs in front of churches. They have a beautiful picture of a woman, and it says, pregnant, need help, and then it gives you a number. Are those being pretty effective, or are they ignored?
Those are very effective.
Good.
In fact, you always know when something is effective when the abortion industry is trying to get it taken down or get it removed.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Right.
Yes, and that is something that I know in our area and many other parts of the country, there have been billboard campaigns and all kinds of signs that have been put up. And there's even now, thankfully, we have some pro-life media groups where they're putting pro-life ads, you know, with hotlines or helplines to call on cable channels that for their target audience, such as MTV and VH1. So, you know, channels like that where, you know, otherwise they may not necessarily see that because they may not be going to church anymore. They may not get that message at church or you know, whatever their sphere of influences are. And so really going to them and reaching them where they are and then showing them those helplines to get them to good places, life-affirming places where they can receive care. And they'll, you know, if they need professional one-on-one counseling, these pregnancy centers, if they don't have it on site, they have connections where they can refer. They have connections with pro-life doctors where if that person, you know, if that mother needs prenatal care and extensive medical care and doesn't already have a medical professional, then they can send her to one.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of help that these places have. And I'm amazed every time, just like I said, we partner with so many of them, and I love it because they really do give solutions to the problems that these women are facing. If these women are carrying all these problems that they have, such as maybe an abusive relationship, they need job help, they've lost their job, they don't have enough money for food, clothing, you know, whatever. Maybe they can't get through college anymore because of their circumstances. Every time, these pregnancy centers are going to do what they can and go out of their way to help these women address each of these things. They're not just about making sure the baby is born. They really are about helping these mothers and getting these families to stand on their own feet. You're not going to find that at a place like Planned Parenthood. In fact, if you go there asking for a sonogram in many of these abortion facilities, they won't give you one unless you want an abortion. They're not there to help you. They're there to sell a product. And they're just so good at marketing themselves. And that's why a lot of people are fooled. They're fooled by them because they're really, the abortion industry is so good at marketing themselves. But when you look deeper into it, when you look into the numbers and you hear countless stories of women who have been in and out of there, both as customers and as workers, we know what the truth is.
I have stood out in front of an abortion clinic, and it was a group, and there was a priest there. And the first thing he did was say a prayer for all the babies who had been aborted in that facility. And I tell you, just that alone was life-changing for me. Everyone who's listening, do that. Go with a group and pray in front of an abortion clinic. It will change your life, and you will start doing more for the cause, I do believe.
It is very powerful. And one of the hardest things is just simply taking the step to go out there.
Right. Yeah, that is the hardest.
Yes. And I will tell people when they say, I want to do this, but I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to muster up the courage to go. And people also wonder if it's even effective, you know? Are we just causing a stir and, you know, stepping out of our comfort zones for nothing? And the way that I, you know, help especially newcomers is I say, look, first of all, I am glad to hear that you feel uncomfortable about this because that means that you recognize the reality of what's going on. Who is going to feel completely comfortable with standing outside of a place that is literally killing children and harming women? Of course that's not comfortable, but God calls us out of our comfort zone. We are called to go beyond. That's the Christian message in general. We are called to do things beyond our comfort level to glorify the kingdom. I mean, that's part of making disciples of all nations. And so I will say, push through that. I was incredibly uncomfortable when I got started as a freshman in college praying outside of abortion facilities. And in fact, I put it off for a long time because I kept thinking, there is no way I could ever do that. And I was pro-life. I had written papers about it in high school and junior high school about how abortion was wrong and how it affected women and obviously children. But there was just no way that I was going to go stand outside of an abortion facility. And then there was no way that I was going to go through a training to learn how to talk to women and reach out to them and give them information. And, you know, that's kind of a pattern. And here I am 9 years later doing this for a living and training others to do it. But it's not comfortable, but it's necessary. And it is very, very impactful. I mean, I could spend, you know, a whole nother fit. I could take up all of your shows for the rest of the year telling you amazing, you know, miracle stories of how these efforts of peacefully praying outside of abortion facilities have changed so many lives.
Well, you mentioned the availability of centers where people can go for help and making sure that the churches know where they are and what to do. I am a very poor chaplain to John Paul Second Life Center, and I just admire them so much, and I know what good work they do, and I just wish that everybody knew of their local one, these centers that are just everywhere, but we need more of them, and we need more publicity on them, and it's not the sort of thing that's going to get some free spots put on the media's resources. It just doesn't happen that way. So it's up to us to spread the word. You do a beautiful job of spreading that word, Heather, and thank you so much for it.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And we'd like to have you back on so you can tell us about the Rosies and the Ryans.
Yes.
That you can share those stories because they're so encouraging. But it's time for us to say goodbye. So I'm asking everyone to say a rosary for all the women and men who are seeking the truth about pregnancy options. If you don't have a rosary or need a rosary for someone else, email us at rosary@marystouch.org and we'll send one to you absolutely free. Father, I think it's time for your last thought and a blessing.
Well, my last thoughts are, let us say a Hail Mary on the air for the repose of the souls of all of those innocents murdered by the sin of abortion and all who have been harmed by that sin in any way whatsoever. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may Almighty God bless each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.